Alright, go ahead and talk a little bit, Scott. I want to just do a test run. Like, me talking, you're just not going to talk. Like, I asked you to talk, you're not going to talk.
Trey, I had a fucking piece of food in my mouth. God damn it, are we dating?
I see nipples.
I think sometimes we are, Scott, so.
Nipples.
Is that still the painted stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know why they still do that, because it's not, I don't think it's a good segment. I don't know.
Do they show any?
Here we go, slow podcast for the end of the regular season, 1992-93, and the playoffs. We have the usual suspects back here. We have Doug and Scott, and we're gonna start off. We're gonna kind of wrap up the regular season.
I thought we were recording.
We are recording.
No, but earlier.
Oh yeah, we are. Okay. We've been talking for about 2.5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
But now I'm talking about how I had a buffer zone before that, so. So anyways, we wanted to lead off some of the surprises, I guess. Let's start off with surprise teams in the regular season. Like teams you expected more from that didn't really produce.
We could do, yeah, that for sure. We can go with, I was just going to say, in general, I was very disappointed with how the West, you know, save about maybe 4 or 5 teams, looked as a whole conference. I mean, it just seemed like everyone was trying to outshit each other. What the hell was that?
Whoa. You okay over there, Scott? You didn't just get murdered on air, did you? Oh, come on.
Scott,
you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There was those sneezes? Bless you.
It was Arnold Schwarzenegger saying stop it.
Oh.
Oh, I was like, we're all like, what the hell is that?
What is going on?
But yeah, so I think that all the Western Conference teams are trying to outcrap themselves. Like, just who can compete for the top draft pick spot?
Yeah.
I mean,
there was a lot of talk between the Pacific and the Central, and I think Pacific is still, I mean, they obviously finished with the two best records, and, you know, the Lakers are close to that too. And I think that at the end of the day, there's one division that was just awful this year, and it was the Midwest. Now, you know, hell, the Grizzlies just coasted to a championship, honestly, you know, in the last month and a half. So, you know, that division being that bad was definitely why some of the, you know, even the Central Division's records were kind of higher than normal this year, because you had so many teams in both conferences, and more so with the Midwest, that were just terrible and trying to be terrible. I mean, we have a good draft coming up, and it's just no problem at all that these people are pretty much tanking to get a better pick. So
yeah, I think that the fine line between tanking and rebuilding is no longer there, and that there is, you know, tanking is rebuilding at this point. Yeah. So I mean, you can sugarcoat it any way you want, teams that are at the bottom of the Midwest or the West,
mm-hmm.
you know, in even the East. Do we have any tankers?
Yeah, we have a few. Well, yeah.
Who?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say the Heat were tanking, because they actually looked like they were trying
yeah.
this season.
And the Hornets didn't have their own pick, so they couldn't tank.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott.
So, Scott, who is your surprise? You want to talk about that real quick?
I mean, I think the Hornets were one of mine. I thought they'd do a little bit worse. And then another team is the 76ers, who came in, you know, guns blazing, made a bet with the Rockets, lost the bet with the Rockets, who had the first overall pick last year. Now, he did have some injuries, but he was pretty terrible. I mean, 27-55 is not that much worse than the teams that were actually trying not to suck. You know, yeah. Blazers.
How bad is that trade he made with Conroy?
It could end up netting. Let's just say worst case scenario, it could end up netting Alonzo and Weber.
So what did he get with the pick that he got?
He got Conroy's pick. He traded his this year's pick for Conroy's last year's pick.
So it would be top two protected.
Conroy's last year's pick was top two protected, and it hit. So he might get Conroy's, like, what is it, 20 pick this year.
He will.
So he's going to trade a top seven, at least a top six, sorry, and a top two for a 20 pick.
Yeah.
So it can ultimately be a yellow-yellow for two legends.
Yeah. Two Hall of Famers.
That's like a trade that I think that'll set the tone for the, you know, next few seasons. Yeah. Well, you know, or not next few seasons.
I think you have to. You mean you have to look at how you protect picks and things like that too, because I gotta think when you're doing a trade that you play that out a little bit. Like you say, worst case scenario, what can happen to me?
But here, my question is if Conroy really wanted to protect his pick top two and they're just doing a pick swap, then why not just say, okay, well, I want my fucking pick protected top two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To be honest, and I'll go on the record because I've done this too, is that sometimes I forget about protections. Like, I'll be like, hey, let's just do a deal and throw something out there.
Yeah. That would explain your trip to the clinic and that penicillin I saw on your desk.
Yeah, well, but, you know, just a little bit of...
Yeah.
You gotta clap it away.
Right.
I mean, there are certain points where I don't think you need to worry about protection. Like, I personally, if I had a big deal going down and play, like, going down, and I was getting, like, a superstar or something, like Jordan or something like that, I probably wouldn't throw a protection on mine because I'm getting Michael Jordan. And even if he's injured, I'm going to surround him with a team that's not, let's just say, a 500 team, right?
Right.
But, like, the 76ers weren't good last year.
Right.
So why wouldn't they protect? Or 2 years ago when they traded the pick.
And the thing is, too, you look at it, I mean, that was an unbelievable small percentage chance that they would have hit on that pick. I mean, a top two protection is as tight as it gets, really. And sure. I mean, they just had incredibly bad luck, but they could have just injured their team for the next 10 seasons. And I hope we get to 10, 15 seasons. I think this is a pretty good group. I think everybody's pretty interested. But the Sixers could be down for a very long time.
Yeah, well, you know, you say that. I think they'll be a playoff team. I don't know if they hit on a free agent.
Yeah.
The reason why I don't know. They weren't going to make the playoffs this year, but they've still got Bobby Phills. They got PJ Brown, who's developing. They got Divock, who is... you know, one of those undercover best centers in the league, one of the best centers in the league. So they've got like a good base, but they're never going to be elite because they fucked this up.
Yeah. So one of the, I guess, biggest surprises, and you guys can talk to this too, Wignosi not making the playoffs. I mean, I think a lot of us expected him to coast to a third championship. And I'm not sure that if he hadn't kept this same team that he wouldn't have made it.
I didn't expect him to coast.
Yeah, I expected some drop-off, and we saw that from the get-go in the season. But then he started making some moves, and you always, like, when you see Wig making some moves, you're like, shit, you start panicking. I think we all kind of had a mini panic attack in the middle of the season.
Right. Well, you assume that he's the smartest man in the room when it comes to this game.
When it comes to the program in general, right.
If he's going for this guy, that means that he knows what he can do with that
guy.
Or
he sees something there that he has. Or, I mean, again, you don't know that for a fact. He may dislike a guy too, but you think, like, he's been around this program, not necessarily this version of the program, but this game and along with other games, that he can kind of read, or maybe has figured out a few different, you know, what works well.
I did not mean to do that. I apologize.
It's okay. We didn't hear it anyway.
But, so, I mean, we all kind of all flipped our lid when the trade went down. But if you go back and look at it, I mean, the Blazers actually are end up getting a what? It's a low lotto pick.
They got their pick this year.
They have their own pick, I believe.
No, I'm talking about they got Wiggs' pick.
Yeah.
And yeah, Wigg, but for Mario Elie, I mean, that's still a terrible trade.
Well, yeah, it's a terrible trade, but isn't Elie expiring?
No. Well, he might be, but so what? You can still resign him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, look, I'll say this. I didn't expect them not to make the playoffs. But, as our normal theme, can we get into conspiracy theories?
Yep.
Do you think it's possible that Wig won his two championships and decided to lay it easy on us for a season or two?
Well, it was kind of surprising that after the big uproar that it was that he just nosedived so bad so quickly, and I just can't imagine that everybody else just became that much better at the game. Again, if he did, so what? I mean, it's one of those things. It's his prerogative. Like, he may want to get into rebuild mode too. But that being said, and if anybody knows how to rebuild, it's going to be the guy who won two championships because he knows the program better than everybody else.
He's got Strickland, Elie,
yeah,
Purvis Ellison.
I could see that, Scott. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I mean, let's just look at this. And the only reason I even suggest this, because I have tremendous respect for his ability on this game, right?
Right.
Is he had 2 7-game losing streaks to close out the season.
Yeah. One was his own.
They're tough games. I mean, the Suns, the Kings, the Jazz, the Mavericks, the Nuggets aren't that tough. Nets are respectable. But you also have Cavs, the Knicks, the Bulls. I mean, those are tough games, but regardless, I mean, I don't think anybody, if they play him in a 7-game series, even with this team, would feel confident.
No. I feel more confident, as should everybody else in the playoffs, that, Wig's not there. So he's the one guy that...
kind of a level playing
field. Right. There's a lot of guys here who have been in the playoffs and know how this works a little bit better, and I'm kind of new to it now, but... you may know how to play the game, but I'm sure every person here is just as nervous about getting put in a 7-game series against Wignosi because, he could put his...
It would have to be in the final.
Yeah, because he could put his point guard against the center and it might mess with your brain enough that you may screw something up, you know? I mean, it's one of those things that gets to that point that he's a nervous guy to be in the playoffs with, and now that he's not a part of the field of the 16, I think everybody's looking at it as hell. This is your chance. I mean, this is a good a chance as you're ever going to get a championship right now. And now we may get just as good as Wig eventually, but
and I'll tell you one thing: that fucking banner's coming down.
Oh, that's the great thing, yeah. Why did we pick that? I guess it's just because that was their logo in the 90s, but we. There's so many better logos. We just need to retroactively put the late 2000 logos in there instead of the old logos.
Future past.
Yeah. But I think we have one other team that we talked about before. We all kind of agreed on it. That was a surprise, and that was the Cleveland Cavaliers. They made a lot of big moves, and one of the more active owners over the last couple of years, I would say. Yeah. At least top, he was active. Let's just say
he's back.
Yeah, he's back now. But, Wilkins got hurt. And he still had, who else is on his team? He's got Barkley and he's got
Barkley. He had Isaiah Thomas. He had Sarunas Malnunud.
Whatever his name is.
But, and then he had Moses Malone, who's like older than, not as old as Robin Parrish, but. Just about there. He's pretty old.
I mean, on paper...
His name is Moses.
Yeah.
I mean, on paper, we looked at the Central at the beginning of the year, and we said, this is going to be a tough division to make the playoffs for. They'll probably get six spots at least. And part of them missing on that was because of the Cavs. And we already talked about Wignosi, but those two teams not making it, that had a lot to do with, looking at it on paper and comparing it to the rest of the divisions in the league. And I think it leveled out. I think we had fun. The Central and the Pacific had fun going back and forth. And, you know, it doesn't really matter. You can't really talk about who's better than who at that point because they both have bad teams at the bottom. And
yeah,
you know, it doesn't really matter. There are bad teams in the whole league that everybody has to play. So, you know, whoever does better is the better team, in my opinion. But, you know, the Cavs missing is a real shock. And the fact they almost made it, even though they weren't active, is crazy.
They got healthy, and the team went on a run to end the season. And who knows what could have been, you know?
Right.
What could have been if Jay Howard's it was here and able to, like, work on stuff and whatnot. Yeah. Not, you know, if he had some stuff going on and, you know, just some more things. Even though we always say slow, things come up. I know he has a baby on the way, and like, getting ready for that takes a lot of time.
Well, hell, this podcast is something we tried to do a couple times the last few weeks, and there's always something that comes up.
One of us, you know, falls through.
It's usually on the Brown front over here, but,
It just so happened that Trey and Doug started their cycle last Saturday, so...
Oh, boo.
Oh, yeah.
That's not right.
Hey, Doug, can you do me a favor?
What?
Can you pull up your salesman technique to Jay Howe on when you sold him Dominique Wilkins and read it?
I don't have that conversation anymore. I cleaned out my inbox.
Oh, because there's no limit. Why would you do that?
I just got so used to, like, PR.
I think I saw someone post on League Chat this year. They're like, clear your inbox.
Send me a PM. Clean your inbox. I miss sending these.
All right. Well, I mean, any other surprises from the regular season? I think we probably should just move into the playoffs. Oh, yeah, I think there's one other surprise. How terrible the Mavericks were.
No, we kind of talked about that, but yeah.
I mean, they were how record-breakingly bad they were. I mean, 2 wins in the last 5 games is what got them 17. Do you realize, like, the next worst season, me and Scott talked about this, was 20 wins. It's not that you have to try to be that bad, but it does take some effort. Like...
Well, when your best player on your team...
At the beginning of the season, because he was so good at coaching, it's not a shot, but he was so good at game planning that he would be the 6th or 7th worst team in the league. He was by far the worst ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need talent, Chad.
I'm looking at his... I'm just looking at his season schedule when... And just look at all those L's in a row. He went on like a 20-game losing streak.
He did. As impressive as the Kings' 20-game winning streak was there, that 20-game losing streak, that takes effort.
He had a streak where he had like 3 wins and 25 to 30 losses.
But he was just a few games under .500 in moral victories. Like, he was a pretty good moral victory team, so that's
at getting least good. To 80 points is a moral victory for him. but looking at his team, I mean, when your best player is Anthony Peeler, you have problems.
Yeah. At least Anthony Peeler was a rookie. Yeah, he was a rookie.
I mean, he looks good. I mean, looks good on paper. Yeah, I mean, he has some pretty decent ratings.
Good.
But yeah, that was pretty bad.
All right.
Love you, Darth, but sorry.
I'm pretty much done with the regular season. Are you guys?
Yeah, I really don't have anything else that...
What about season awards, guys?
Season awards.
Sean Kemp.
I'm actually going to be posting up the season awards stuff later today.
Trey, how do you feel about Bow getting picked by the game to be the GM of the year over you?
I think it has a lot to do with him just being 5 games better than me. And I you know, that team, because they don't take into consideration what you did the year before. But I was talking to Doug, and I have to vote for someone other than me. And you can vote. I really think that Bow improved by 16 games. So, I mean, he definitely went from a 6 seed last year and just kind of ran away, you know, not ran okay. away with it, obviously.
Okay, let me jump in.
Okay.
Because I know where this argument's going, and I apologize for interrupting you.
No problem. But
Sean Kemp was injured for like 60 games last year, or 50 games last year.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, you know, I think the game the game does pick based on a certain criteria that we don't adhere to. Like, there's a lot of position, there's a lot of players that get picked for like sixth man and stuff like that. And like last year, Wignosi had his guy picked by the game because his starter played 18 minutes a game and the backup played two positions and 40 minutes a game. So, I mean, you know, the game does look at just some basic rules and determines who they think's the best. Now, that's why we trust them for things like MVP and first team, second team, third team, even though they kind of botched that one this year. But
they didn't botch it. They just used different criteria. You know how I felt about it.
Yeah, I know. We talked about it. I think the only reason that, you know, Miller was there was because it was a little better team this year than it's been in the past couple of years. Because he's been a two-time second teamer. But if you're going to take a point guard out of the starting five, I would think that the next two guard spots would be point guards, don't you think? Like, if they put two twos in there, then second team should be two ones almost, right?
Yeah.
If you think the top four guards in the game are Jordan, Miller, Magic Johnson, and Kevin Johnson, then it would shock me if Kevin Johnson fell down to the third team.
To be fair, there was three point guards in their three teams, so.
There was?
Yeah, so there was Mark Price, Kevin Johnson, and Magic.
So was Mark Price a third teamer?
He was a third teamer.
So who made it in the second team? You know,
Magic and Augman. Augman, I think.
Yeah.
Augman, you can almost make an argument that he was better than Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, it's close. You know, like, it's.
Yeah. I think efficiency. Right. Miller was. I mean, he wasn't in the top five. He wasn't in the top five field goal percentages, but he was close to that. Yeah, and he was like a number three or four on the free throws. So his effective percentage was far higher than a lot of people. And that might be why he got picked over Augman, but I didn't think he deserved to be first team. I think when you have Jordan and you know Jordan's going to be number one every year because he's the only guy on that team, then you can just expect to be on second team every year because there's a one that deserves to be there. And obviously, even Magic, I mean, he was on two really good teams this year. And, you know, there's no reason why his production, why he should have slipped to the second team. Other than the fact that he's a little older. But what other – so that's first, second, third team we're talking about. We didn't really – no shock on Rookie of the Year. When you really break down the stats?
No, I mean, it was
close.
It was really close between Shaq and Zoe, and I think Zoe got the nod on the blocks. Yeah. I mean, he blew Shaq out.
Well, yeah. I think everything else was pretty close. Zoe really, I think when you look at it and you say, okay, they were close at the end of the year, but Zoe won Rookie of the Month, like, every month, right? I mean, the game knew for a long time that he was a better player at that point. Now, he's a guy who doesn't have as much upside as Shaq does, but he's better right now.
Hey, listen to this.
Go ahead.
Alonzo, points per game. Hear me out.
Okay.
21.
Okay.
10.3 and 3.5 blocks. 10.3 rebound.
Got it.
That's real life. The game, 22, 10.1, and 3.5.
That was rookie year versus in real life versus the game?
Yep.
I think you did a good job rating him there.
Yeah. Fucking nailed that one, man. Pumped about that.
There's some of them that you don't, that we still got guys who are just completely raping the league, but Anthony, you know, Taylor, you're definitely getting better, that's for sure. Like, I look forward to seeing this next class, so. Well, Peeler was the only person on his team. It's really hard.
That was a joke.
were you saying that Peeler was doing? Yeah.
Dan Dickow, you know, was the only guy on.
Yeah.
That guy had 10 assists a game, didn't
Putting
he?
Dan. Like,
wasn't his nickname Dan That Dickow?
Was it?
No.
any other awards we want to talk about?
Dan That Dickow.
Robert Ory didn't make the rookie team, did he?
He didn't make it, no.
First or second team. That was a little bit of a shock.
Doug, what did I tell you? He's never going to win an award, but He's the all-gel team.
I would have taken... Yeah, exactly. I still... Even looking back at how much success Leitner had this year, if it was between the two of them, I probably still would have taken Ori. Just because he was a better all-around player.
The future for him is really kind of up in the air. It depends how his training camps go, where what position he'll play and whatnot. I mean, I honestly think he can rotate in and out. So, you know, it's up in the air. Yeah. But I still like him. I like him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And for what he does for the team... You know, you need a guy like that.
Doug, you want to trade him for Bimal Benjamin?
No, Benjamin, bro, I got K. Will.
He could play the four, bro.
I got Otis Thorpe.
Oh, yeah, that was dumb. I'm just kidding. I'm just mad you won't trade.
All right, so let's go. Do you have the tournament? I guess we know the series already.
You have all the results, huh?
Yeah, let's work on the...
I PM'd you mine, by the way.
Okay, I'll put him in, Scott's gonna do his a little bit later too. But
I'll kind of go with what I'm thinking. Yeah,
I don't know. Let's not talk games, but let's just talk like winner in general, because it doesn't matter. Like if someone picks the same picks as you, I mean they're gonna be just as wrong or just as right. You know, I mean there's still that chance. But I'll work from the top down. So we're gonna start in the Western Conference. Warriors, Rockets.
Huh? Why don't you just make the picks do at 3 o'clock and then post this at 5?
Yeah, I mean I've been posting. I post in league chat. I post in the playoff thread. So
yeah.
All right.
I don't think this is going to affect it too much, Scott. Honestly, because I think we all agree on a lot of the picks, and I've already put in 5 brackets, and they're all different. They're all very different, and so with the wrinkle of picking the series and the right amount of games and missing one or two, like the scores are going to be very different, so I think it's going to be fine. So I mean I don't think people who listen to this are necessarily going to change the way they think about the series in general. They already know what they want. They already know what they're going to do. So all right, so let's just go with picks. Okay, so first round, Warriors Rockets.
I'm a Warriors in 5, I think is what I put down. I like what the Rockets are doing. I like where they're going. I think they have, with Shaq, they have a good piece there. They have cap space to make a couple moves. I think that the players that they have in place now, outside of Hershey and Shaq, will become pretty good role players for them. And I think that this offseason and next offseason are where they need to really strike gold. If they really want to, I mean, like you said, the Midwest is up for grabs. And right now, don't get me wrong, the Grizzlies have a good team. But they have plenty of holes, I think, at the 2 and 3, mainly, that they can improve on. But, I mean, if they can just get some better pieces, I think the Rockets could take control of the Midwest, as we clearly have seen. The Jazz are falling and falling and falling. But then again, the Jazz could grab a couple pieces in the offseason too and just easily jump in. But I digress. The Warriors in 5.
Scott.
I'm going to say the Warriors in 5 too, and I don't want to make like a, you know, a piggyback type of pick like that. But I think the Rockets are just starting their ascend into playoff space, for a bad comparison there. And I just don't think they're ready yet, and they kind of, I don't want to say lucked in, they earned their spot in the playoffs, but they're kind of skidding into the playoffs, and the Warriors are just really good. They've been rising. They've been getting better all season long.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it comes down, my pick comes down to home and away. The Warriors can get beat at home, but they have to be by really good teams, and they are a better road team than the Rockets are a home team. So I think this is a clean sweep, honestly. I don't think the Rockets have much of a chance at a win. I think it's going to be, double-digit wins each game. And just because I think the Warriors can control home field advantage and home court advantage. And, I think 4. I don't think the 5 is that off, because the game does like to, you know, give a win here and there. But I think this is as clear as – it's not my most clear sweep. I have another one that I think is my most clear sweep, but this one is pretty close.
Pistons-Raptors.
Exactly, right?
Game, right?
Right, right. So I guess we'll go top to bottom. So
do the one seeds and the two seeds and then the
okay, we can do that. All right, so the Pistons Raptors. What do you guys think?
Doug?
I think this season, I think now Trey's been on a really hot streak lately, so this might change, but I think the Raptors have played the Pistons and upset them a couple times throughout the season. So I think this series will be a lot closer than the rankings and the seeding. I still think the Pistons will come out on top, but I think the Raptors will give them a run for their money and probably take it to seven games. I think John Barry has a good chance at not shutting down one of two players, but I think that Barry can slow down Reggie Miller if he's lining up against her. I don't know the depth chart, so I don't know what's set where. But Steve Smith or Reggie Miller, depending on who's playing the two-guard spot. And I think Rick Fox has also been getting pretty good. He's a pretty good defender as well on the perimeter. So if he can limit some of their shots or at least make him slightly more inefficient, then I think the Raptors can at least make this a close series. But I still think the Pistons will come out on top.
Scott.
Doug, question.
Yep.
Do you think 47 is a high number?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I'm you took it from me, but go ahead.
Is that Rick Fox?
Yes, sir.
I was doing that from memory, so I couldn't remember. I thought you were quoting Steve Smith perimeter defense, too.
Oh, no, this is like 30.
Oh, no, you're talking about a different number, so yeah.
So that's my point, is Rick Fox isn't what he will be. You look at the Raptors roster, and they've got their future is as bright as it gets right now. I've talked to him before. I think he's one or two pieces away from really making a big move in the playoffs. But right now the Pistons are just, in my opinion, better at every single spot, 1 through 5, and on the bench. So, you know, as much as I'd like this to be, as big as the talk has been, I don't think it will. I think it's going to be a 5-game series, and I think the Pistons are going to handle them. And this is no disrespect to Wave. His team's, it's got some maturing to do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you on Barry. He's a great defender.
He steals the ball well.
Another good point. I think that, and I've talked to you about this too, Scott.
Yeah.
I think steals, you know, back in the old league, we're like, oh, you know, defense, like perimeter defense or post defense or whatever, you know, is really important. But I think, in this game, I think weighted, and when it comes into whatever calculation it does when it does the sim, I think steals is probably weighted a lot more than able to create those turnovers and new possessions and taking away from possessions is, I think, weighted a little bit higher.
I don't.
You don't?
Look, the league leader in steals is getting, what, 2 or 3 steals a game? That's 2 possessions you're taking away.
Yeah.
Whereas perimeter defense and post defense come into play every single possession. Now, I think it's very important, especially like if you look at a team like the Warriors, they feast off of steals, they feast off of turnovers, and that's what really sets them apart because they have that high octane offense. And when you let them have 10 extra possessions a game, they're gonna beat you most of the time. But I don't know. I don't think the Raptors can capitalize like that yet.
Well, and I think so. We were talking about Barry. In the last 2 meetings that we had, and you know, I kind of separate those two from the first two because Coleman was playing center at the beginning of the year, and he played better at the 4. So there were clear distinctions where both game plans changed. And Miller scored 45 on Barry. That's what I thought you were referencing, but he scored in the 40s against Barry, and you know, one thing my team has done all year is if one guy is down, you know, one of the other starters is picking it up. So I mean, you really have to outmatch me at every position, well, at least as far as this series is concerned. Another thing that concerns me about the Raptors here is that they are outshot on the season by their opponent. And then you take into account that the Pistons are the best shooting team in the league right now.
I think you guys have the best offensive efficiency, right?
Yeah, it is the best offensive efficiency. They have the best, like 10 or 15 points better on effective field goal percentage than the number two team. And I, if you're a team that gets outshot, you know, the right game plan, it's gonna slow that down a little bit. But, you know, if you get outshot every game or on the season, then chances are when you go up against a team that shoots better than everyone else in the league, that it's not going to be pretty. But I imagine it's going to be a good series because that's just the way we play each other. He's always had my number, so it's going to take, you know, 4 or 5 game win for me to really, you know, get some of that back. But, you know, I think he's a good team. I'm not trying to knock him. He was better than a lot of people. It just shows you, I mean, the 8th seed in the East is a lot better than the 8th seed in the West. And he could have been the 5 seed going into the last 2 weeks of the season. So,
well, Trey, I want to piggyback off of something real quick. And that's the, you know, the scoring offense and how you're such a better shooting team than him. And the way to mitigate that is by free throws. And he just doesn't get to the line. He only gets 25 a game, which is good for 21st in the league. If he were, say, the Knicks with Robinson, who gets to the line 34 times, or even the Pacers, who you might have to match up with later on, then I think he'd have a shot. But he's just not there yet. He will get there eventually, though.
Well, and that's also – I talked about when he moved Coleman over and why the two first games are separate from the other ones is my defense that I was running just for 2 months there. They putting teams on the line, it was cutting my minutes down for my starters, and it was turning over the ball. And it's all things that I've fixed now. So I'm not putting guys on the line as much. You have to really outshoot me, out rebound me to beat me there. And this is just a team that I don't think can do that. Now there are other teams in the playoffs that I think can do that and other teams I don't match up well against, but this is just one that I think, you know, it's a bad draw for him at this point. But you could say that about any 1 versus 8, I guess. So
Yeah,
pretty much.
And then one last thing, just to go back to the steals thing. I was only talking about John Barry having high steals, but I just went to actually look at his team, did a little bit of eye fucking, and I noticed that Alvin Robinson has a 90 steal, John Barry has a 93, Rick Fox is 80. And Greg Anthony has 80. And I think he actually leads the league or leads the conference in steals per game. Yeah. So he's a pretty – I mean, defensively, I think he creates a lot of those turnovers. So that's one of the things. If he can take the ball away from your guys, then that's what will keep this series alive. Yeah. But like I said, you know.
We'll see.
He's 5 on turnovers. He is second in the league in steals. But my whole point behind that was not that he can't get the steals is – his offense can't capitalize,
right.
And that'd be a big piece. I mean, if he could limit the Pistons' possessions, I mean, that takes a little bit of teeth out of the bite. But
right,
I think in next season maybe or the season after, that's when he's really got some traction to do this.
And as the Pistons, in order to counteract that, somebody who gets so many turnovers, it's unfortunately we have to slow the pace down, you know, and being the best offensive or the most offensive efficient team, you know, to slow the pace kind of sucks a little bit, but it also helps you protect the ball more. And I think that, you know, that's a big, we're going to see if that works out. I mean, playoffs have always played out differently than regular season. Yeah. It seems like, I mean, you might have a team, remember 80-23 would get beat by a team and then clearly sweep them out of the playoffs. I mean, we don't know how many times he pushed Sim, but until he got that, but you know, it is what it is. So we want to go to the number 2 in the West. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Grizzlies, Jazz.
Grizzlies, Jazz. So Scott, you start out.
Grizzlies, Jazz. I've got the Grizzlies in 4 games. They have, in my opinion, probably the best front court in the NBA. They've got, and no offense, maybe the best front court in the West. I'll say that because the Bucks have a really good front court as well. But they've got Gatling coming off the bench, who, you know, he's one of the better big guys in the league who doesn't need the ball in his hands. They've got a really good point guard in Mark Jackson. They got, you know, guys that can score. Will Perdue can shut down the paint. And the Jazz have a lot of injuries, you know, and it's just going to be a one-man game, Jordan versus all the Grizzlies, and I think they get mauled by that bear, brah.
I think the Jazz have been particularly horrible lately.
They lost 12 in a row, right?
Yeah. So I don't think this is much of a series. It's still not my cleanest sweep, and I may actually have the Jazz winning one. It's hard not to give Jordan the nod for at least one game. But yeah, I remember that Cavaliers Magic series back in, 2009, where LeBron just went off that one game and they won one game.
Yeah, yeah.
Hit that game-winning shot, you know. So, I mean, that happens, but I think the Grizzlies are clearly the better team here in this game. So I think Grizzlies in 4 or 5.
I agree with Scott, just saying that I think that the weakest spot for the Jazz is the front court, where they are just depleted and injury, you know, just injury ridden. And I think it's gonna be the Gatling and Daughtry show. Get ready for some song and dance, but because they're gonna get destroyed down there, and I think it's gonna be a sweep.
Okay, so I think we all agreed on that one. Magic Bulls. Doug.
This is an interesting one. It's the Bulls don't exactly have the best defense around, but they have a pretty good offense, and they've been pretty hot going into the end of the season. And if you don't mind me pulling up their stuff real fast. I mean, they definitely won more than they lost in the last 2-3 sims, that's for sure. It depends, really, with Olden Polynesian. If he's not that he's a winning or he's the deciding factor or not, but his injury, he's day to day right now, and I don't know if he'll be back for game one or if Colts guy will play him, or sit him out for the first series. But his depth,
he's gonna play him,
huh?
He's gonna play him.
And if he loses, if for some reason that injury gets worsened and he's out for a while, I think that could open the door for Seekley having a little bit more, Sekele, or however you pronounce his name, to having a little bit more of an impact on this game than originally anticipated. But, I mean, I think the Magic are going to win it, but it's going to go to 6 or 7. I really should be looking at my picks, but I'm just going off the top of my head. But yeah. I think the Magic are going to win for sure.
Doug, don't you sim sandwich me where you do a bad, good, bad, all right? Nobody needs a sim league sandwich here. I've got the Magic, and I mean, I want to pick the Bulls because the Magic. I don't want to say he's gotten a big head, but he's posted some stuff, and he should. You know, he should be pretty pumped about being in the playoffs. He went like what, 6 years without making the playoffs in the other league. So
yeah.
On that note, I'm pretty happy for him.
Oh yeah.
Don't get me wrong. All of us, you know, we give him a hard time and stuff.
Yeah,
but he really has, like I think we talked about earlier, really put together a team to win this year.
Right.
He's grown as a GM.
Yeah. I think we've given him too hard of a time, honestly. Like, there's you know, the results thread was pretty hilarious from the last sim. And he kind of got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder from what everybody was saying, but
he should have a chip on his shoulder, man. Everybody's been dogging him for 7 or 8 seasons. He should have a chip on his shoulder.
I mean, my thing, this is the kind of the guy that everybody else is picking. You know, you either picked Conroy, you picked Colts guy, or you picked me as potential GM of the year. So I've had a little bit of a sibling rivalry with this guy all year, as far as looking back at a team that was decent last year, and we knew he was going to be a lot better this year. I absolutely need the Bulls eliminated. I don't want them to advance because I don't think I can beat them. I don't know what it is. It's a team that they match up so well against me. I don't think that I've beaten them. I think I've beaten the Raptors more times than I've beaten the Bulls at this point in this league. And he's a good team. He might match up against me well. And I just think clearly the Magic are the better team. And I think I had this in like five or six. Cause...
Do I get to make my pick yet?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you made your pick.
No, Doug interrupted me.
Sorry. All right, go ahead.
Like a schoolgirl.
I'm going to redact that and then I'll do mine again.
No. it's just offense versus offense, right? Like, the Magic have one of the best offense in the league. The Bulls have one of the better offense in the league. Magic are better than the Bulls at offense. They have home court. I think they win in six. And I want to put this note out there. I don't think, Kamish picks the Magic to go to the finals every time we talk to him. But I don't think with a 9-man roster that they're going to be able to make it through the gauntlet that is the playoffs with that roster.
One injury and they're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, and you got to look, like, Stojan Vinakovic and Tim Perry, they aren't real people. They suck.
Right.
You know, like,
they aren't real people.
they're not even real fake people, you know? Like, they suck. Like, so really they have a 7-man roster of people that can play. And I think you need 8 to 9 to really make a deep finals run.
Right. Well, all right. I got the Magic, but I have similar concerns that they can keep it up with just 9 players.
He's got Shrimp playing the 5 mostly.
Yeah. Okay, we did number 2 in the West, so we're at number 3 in the West. And that's the King's Suns. Now, this is a really interesting series.
This my upset, bro.
Oh, you're going to call it, huh?
I am going to call it.
Okay, go ahead. Give us what you think.
Okay, so I'm going to preface this because I know Tane's going to shit himself.
Well, you don't think he's already shitting himself?
No, he should be confident. But for one, I'm picking it because it's just one of those bracket busters that can really get your head in these type of, pick-ems.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I pick them is the Kings and the Suns are like, I don't, for whatever reason, they give the Kings a hard time. Now, the Kings, I'll say this, they kill me. Like, they're my kryptonite. So any shit that I talk here doesn't mean I think my team can beat the Kings. I think the Kings would beat me without half their players for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But I think the Kings, when healthy, are the best team in the league. Unfortunately for them, they're playing a team that plays them well. They are playing without their second-best player, in my opinion, and they haven't had a lot of time to learn how to adjust without having that player. If they would have lost Reggie Williams maybe 2 or 3 Sims ago and would have lost him for the playoffs, I would have had a lot more confidence in the Kings winning this series and even possibly beating the Grizzlies and going on to the Western Conference Finals. But I just don't think they've had enough time to adjust to the injury.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to almost make these changes on the fly. So I've got the Suns in 7.
Doug.
That's where I kind of disagree. I think Nola's used to having a team that doesn't have Reggie Williams there. And the fact that he lost him, he can go back and look at his team that was still pretty damn dominant. Now, it wasn't as dominant as once he acquired him, but he had a pretty good team without Reggie Williams, and I think he could still bounce back. That said, you got one of the best defensive players in the league. I don't know if...
DOY, bro.
Huh?
He won Defensive Player of the Year.
Did he?
Yeah.
Hakeem?
Yep.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to, like, line up against Karl Malone. But that presence in the paint will slow Karl Malone down, for sure.
The Jazz already turned in their lineup, but that would be something I would hope they would have thought of.
Yeah.
If you got the best player in the league, best defender in the league against the, didn't he win the MVP a couple times, or has it always been Robinson?
It's always been Robinson.
Okay. Robinson is the most valuable player.
I mean, Malone is the only guy who's going to be on that team that can score. And if the Suns really thought about that... Not going to say it, because I don't know if they're even going to listen to it.
I don't think they'll change it, but...
I don't think anything we say is going to make Nola change his lineup, so...
No.
Oh, yeah. I think I still have the Kings winning this series because I think this is, again, maybe just a shot at the Midwest. I think that the Pacific against the Midwest is just clearly one way.
Suns are in the Pacific, though.
Are they?
Yeah.
God, I'm such a... God. There you go again. It had been a couple podcasts since I did something that stupid.
You know what?
I still think that the Kings know how to play. We talked about this yesterday, Doug. The Kings know how to play with just Malone as their best player. And it may not be as clean a series, but I think that they win against the Suns because of that. So, I mean, having Malone is a huge deal for that team. That's my opinion. I think that they'll win in probably six. Just because it's going to be tough without that second guy, but they should still win this series. I think we all made a pick there, right?
Yeah.
One of our more interesting series coming up here, Pacers and Celtics.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one. I'm not going first because I don't know who I want.
Okay, I'll go first. I think I had the Pacers in six or seven. The Celtics are a very good team, and the Pacers have not been playing very well. But I kind of lean towards the home court advantage here. I think that the Pacers are going to win this one, just because I don't think that the Celtics are quite ready with that team yet. But that's a scary team going forward for sure. Doug,
I had the Celtics winning, and I think
it's not a bad pick.
No, I have the Celtics, and I actually think I have. I can't remember what I picked for what, but. I think I had the Celtics going a couple rounds, actually. Yeah. But I just think the Celtics, at this point, Ogden's going to negate somebody, but who's he going to negate? I think if he goes after Richmond, then Clyde's going to go off. If he goes after Clyde, then Richmond's going to go off. Unless he shows up like he did for Lakers last year in the playoffs, as Scott remembers, where Richmond disappeared and shot horribly. So... You know, that's the one thing. I think Stacey Augment, I think Zoe versus Ewing is going to be kind of a wash. But the fact that he doesn't have – you don't have to worry about really having anyone dominate the point guard spot because he has Vern Fleming, who's been surprisingly doing an all right job. Mm-hmm. He's been filling in. But I think Conroy has one more piece than does he have Bird at the three? I can't remember if the Pacers have been playing Bird at the three or the four.
I didn't think he started.
But
he doesn't start. He's six man.
Yeah. Six man. Okay. But yeah. So then, I mean, it's a tough one. But I'm gonna go with the Celtics in six or seven. I can't remember what I put. But yeah, the Celtics come out on top.
I love all the Celtics pieces, and I think they have a more talented team top to bottom. But I think the Pacers have been together for a while, and they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the Pacers in six on this one, and if the Celtics had a point guard, I would pick them here because I think that would really just – I think that would turn the battle even without home court. They just don't. I mean, they're in the same position as the Pacers with point guard. There's just – no presence there, and whoever makes it past this is going to have to play a good point guard, and they're going to struggle. Right. So I've got the Pacers here. It's going to be a great series. Really, I should say Pacers in seven, but it's going to be a great series. I think this is going to be maybe the best series that we have.
Yeah. Doug, you have – I already picked on this one, right? We just have two more series. Doug has a call at 11:30. Do you want to pick the next two series and then Scott and I will do it?
Let's see.
We got the 2-4-5 series. So you have, let's start with the West. Let's go Lakers Spurs.
Lakers and Spurs. The Spurs have been playing pretty well lately. But I think with the KJ injury in the beginning that the Lakers will go 1-1 at home. But I don't think that'll be enough to suppress the Lakers from taking the series. I just think that that'll prolong it and drag it out to a six or seven game series. But I think the Lakers will win.
And then
I think I said seven.
for this one. But yeah.
Bucks Knicks.
I normally don't like to pick myself just because every time I do, it backfires on me. But I mean, it's really hard to not go with, in light of the David Robinson injury. It sucks for the Knicks. Don't get me wrong, but it sucked for me last year when I lost my guy and had to face him. Had lost two of my main pieces.
Okay,
so
there is no reason to sugarcoat this at all.
It's Bucks and four.
Exactly. So
Maybe five. I mean, he might get one, but I think it'll be.
Do you have headphones? You want to still listen in?
Yeah, I was gonna do my call and just put on mute.
Okay. Well, do you have so the
I might
we don't
to
hear
talk,
the,
so I might have to go.
Okay, but outside. you have headphones here. We don't hear your call on here, right? Because if you put it on speaker, then
I don't have headphones. But all right, I'll hold it up to my ear.
Yeah, that's fine. So let's Scott, let's go back to the Lakers Spurs series. What do you think?
Man, I think the Spurs are a lot better than people give them credit for, just because they're in the Midwest. But they got a really, really strong team. This isn't just like coach talk here, trying to give my team an alibi if we lose. They're a really good team. I mean, they lost their leading scorer, Drazen Petrovic, or however you say his name, for 20 games, man. They lost him for 20 games and still finished 10 games over 500. So this is a really good team. They're missing some talent at the five, I believe. But other than that, they're pretty good. And ever since they moved Danny Manning to the three, they've been a really competent team. So my team, on the other hand, is really inconsistent. We have no guarantee that we'll win at home versus away. It's just a roller coaster ride when you're watching the Lakers.
Yeah.
I hate to say it about my team. If I could build anything else, I would have. I don't know anything that you can control consistency with. And KJ's injured, but I'm playing him, FYI. Oh. I think I win in six, though. So.
Oh, you roll the dice?
Oh, man.
I am rolling the dice. I lost last year as a four seed. When
you don't
I
lost want 2 years in a row.
I mean, it's the playoffs. If you're not going to play somebody injured now, you're not. I mean, he's the key to my team. If it were Doc Rivers or somebody else, like, I probably wouldn't be playing him. But it's KJ. Yeah. You know, I've got to play him.
All right, so this is going to change into me trying to talk you off the ledge here, because I still think clearly that you're the better team. I think since you're only going to have Johnson out, well, what's his day-to-day right now? How many days?
He's playing. He'll play the first
game. No. How many days does it say?
I think three.
Three.
So technically, after the first two games, after the first sim, he would be 100% probably.
Yep.
What is he at now?
He's like 93% or something like that.
What is his injury?
Strain back. He's 93%.
Ooh. Oh, 93% is a little high. I think if I was in your shoes, because I clearly, maybe I'm underestimating the Spurs, but I think you're still the better team. I think it may stretch to six or seven because of that first two games without Kevin. The way I thought you were going to play it. Now, the problem is, I watched Doug last year run into the same issue with Wilkins and losing him for 15 or 20 games at a time. I, this year, sat my guy. Every time he was hurt, I sat him. There were three major injuries on my team, and I sat him every single time.
Trey, if you were playing somebody with four games, let's just say you guys were within four games of each other, right?
Right.
During the regular season. Well, actually, it was 10, but whatever. If you're playing somebody within 10 games of you, right, you had home court advantage, and it's the playoffs, you would rest Reggie Miller. It feels 93%.
I think if I thought – well, I mean, it depends on what we're looking at. My team without Reggie might be able to hold their own in that first sim. I think all you're asking to do is split that.
I don't want to split that, though. It's home court. I got to win it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is my philosophy in the playoffs. You can't worry about the next round. You have to get to the next round. If you don't get to the next round, nothing else matters. So you have to play every series like it's the world's ending tomorrow.
Yeah.
You just can't worry about series that you're not in yet. So I can't worry about Kevin Johnson's health.
It's not even about in my opinion, it's not about the next series. It's about game three. Game three, he'll be 100%. So that's the only reason. I'm not – hey, you've done this a lot more than I have. So, you know, this is my first playoff appearance in, what, 6 or 7 seasons? I mean, right. I respect your opinion, and if it's a strained back and it's 93%, chances are he'll do all right. I just remember what happened to Wilkins last year, and it was – it wasn't. It didn't help the Bucks out for sure. You know. So I. You do what you do. I mean, I expect if he plays and he doesn't get hurt, he's going to win one of those two games anyway for you, if not both. And then I think it's a cleaner series for you. I'm just worried about him getting injured just for that series in general, because I think without KJ for the last 5 games of that series is not as. As good as the 2 before, you know.
Yeah, we'll but see.
That's just my opinion. I mean, obviously, you know, 6 and 1, half dozen the other. Right. We got to pick the Bucks-Knicks series. Well,
That's easy. Bucks and 4.
Yeah.
Bucks and 4.
When I referred to the cleanest sweep or the easiest series in the playoffs, this was it. I think that it's almost like the Bucks have a bye.
Yeah.
Because without Robinson, I mean, you saw how much this team, and that's why when I did my report about a month out on strength of schedule and who had the easiest schedule and who was peaking at the right time, I had the Knicks getting to this 5 seed because of David Robinson being back, and because the only reason they were lower was because he was out. I think that they got to where I thought they would because of David Robinson, but now that he's gone for the most of the playoffs, right? Like
he's like 20 games. He won't make it to the he won't make it to the next round.
Yeah, no, there's no way. I mean, I would be shocked if this went 5 games. I think that would be a big moral victory for the Knicks. But I mean, moral victories don't get you very far. The Bucks will be lining up for the Pistons Pacers winner. I mean, the Pistons Raptors winner. You know, pretty right. much today they can start game planning for that team.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyways, I think so. We made it through the whole series. Doug's kind of keeping his ear close. He's on a call right now. But any other
for the caller?
You know, we're at 110 right now.
Yeah. It's a good time though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Any other last second?
Call into the Sim Rome Show.
Call into the Sim Rome Show because I have one call. I haven't listened to it yet, but this is a lot of fun for me to do because you guys do such a good job of talking trash to each other that it's a good filler. Of course, I've only had one call since the last show, so I really can't do another 15-minute show without it. But we got really creative with having Sean Kemp there. And so, those are the kind of things that I look forward to trying to do on a show-to-show basis. But I would like to note one thing that remember last time we talked, we read through our spar, me and Doug's little tiff, and it was over the bold prediction of 4-0 and a 6-game cushion.
Uh-huh.
I would like to note, and that I am wrong on this, but I went 3-1 and a 5-game cushion. So, you know, bold predictions, like I said from the beginning, 3-1's not a bold prediction, so I went with 4-0, and 5 games is pretty nice compared to that 6. I'll take that. It might be a moral victory, but...
Darth Zeusidos.
Huh?
Said Darth is used to it, moral victory. one other thing I'd like to announce, too, outside of Fuck You, Trey. I also just posted the award threads for campaigning. Yep. Those are going to be open through the sim on Monday.
Okay.
Voting begins after that sim. And remember, it's for regular season accomplishments, not for playoffs.
See, this is why we did this last year. We pretty much delayed it to like the second or third round of the playoffs. So it's really hard to...
Yeah, I know.
Keep that out of people's minds.
Yeah, but just remember, try to keep that in mind when you're doing this. Don't look at who's winning in the playoffs. It's how they got there.
Yeah.
But those threads are up. Voting will start Monday and goes through, I want to say, the 5th of March.
Uh-huh.
So you have a good window to vote.
I think
PM me.
Yeah.
Your 3 votes, and remember, you have to vote for each award to be considered a participating GM. And we also still have that thing, whereas if, I think it's 15 GMs must vote
in order for the GMs to participate to get points.
Yeah.
You vote for your own player, though, as first, right?
You cannot vote for your own player as first. You can vote for him second or third.
Oh, you can't.
You can't vote for your own player as first.
So you can't vote yourself at all on GM, though.
Right, you can't vote yourself as GM. You can't vote your own player as the first option, but the second and third are available. That's cool. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Everything I reposted the rules and all that too. It's all announced, and so any area you go to,
yeah,
they'll have it there. But
also, as you might have seen, all the podcasts went up. It's the website pbsl.igbl.net/podcast. So this will go up there. We've kind of discontinued the iTunes thing. And then, they'll all be up there. So this was good. It was a fun show. I'm glad we finally got to do another one. And hopefully by this time next week, we'll be picking for the semifinals or the finals. So you don't have anything else, huh, Scott?
Nope, I gotta take a shit, so let's close this off.
Oh, nice. Alright, well, like we do every time, slow, similar to everything. And we'll see you guys tonight. Later.